Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day! Day by day! We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get
BB!
We get BB!
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 Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Wednesday, our final day of the week on Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Early Turkey Day wishes to you and yours. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, producing, engineering, contributing, loaded show today to get you off to grandmother's house. Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette, will talk Hawkeyes, Huskers in 15 minutes. Brad Edwards, 1 hour from now, ESPN college football analyst. And then usually it's for Friday. Some of you will be spilling drinks this Friday. That's okay. Or toasting drinks on Friday, depending on what happens. So the Friday forecast is now the Wednesday forecast. We will have Klausburn and our predictions next hour. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. And on Twitter, at Hale Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at JMoore44, and at TJ underscore Henning. Practice will wind down for Nebraska football around 5:30 to 5:40. That's the projection. We will have thoughts on what we hear, what we say about Tommy, about Riker, about Mr. Darlington, and Tommy Armstrong yesterday after practice giving the world an update on the hamstring. I wish I could do a voice for the hamstring.
I'm on pace like I wanted to be. I'm just trying to strengthen it and get out there and play, which I am now. And, you know, that was the main thing of just trying to get healthy. You got to understand that it's more than one game left.
There it is. More than one game left. Bowl game, maybe trip to Indy, but for sure to Iowa City. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Jay. I know that the buzzword today, and God love Brandon Vogel and his hot reads on Hale Varsity, the topic of the fake hamstring. I know the Wizenator was used to alleviate stress on a potentially failed drug test. Mm-hmm. The fake hamstring, not related at all, aside from relieving stress, has been concocted to relieve stress on Tommy Armstrong's hamstring. Some relief's better than nothing. What do you think of that when you saw video and you saw pics of what Tommy's got rocking on that back left leg?
Yeah, well, it took me about three times seeing the video of practice yesterday to notice it. I thought, at first, I'm like, I just saw the tape on his calf area. I'm like, is this just his calf? He's like a, you know, they said, you know, low hamstring. I was like, that's a really low hamstring, upper calf area. But then I finally saw him, like, oh, that's interesting. You know, not surprised, but I've never seen it before, honestly, in all the times I've been involved with training rooms and whatnot. But I tell you what, Mark Mayer is really smart and really good in what he does down there. So I know him and his team, I'm sure he's seen something or researched something to try to get Tommy as healthy as possible. Hey, this is a big game, and you know, you still have that chance if Minnesota can knock off Bucky up there in Badgertown, you know, on Saturday. You never know. So you got to get this win. And to get this win, you need Tommy to be able to go. So I'm great. I was very happy to see him out there moving around and actually moving around pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there's not any shots of him running a 40-yard dash by any means.
That's
but,
good.
Right. But
hey, Riker, what a race.
Right. But the fact that he's out there moving, you know, taking snaps, that's a step in the right direction. And you still got, you know, you got today, you got tomorrow. I mean, a lot can happen. You can get better over the next 48 hours. So all signs pointed that we're going to see number four out there on Fridays, which is a good thing for Big Red.
That'll be good for Nebraska. Riker also, just in some of the video we had a chance to see and watch, it doesn't look like he's hampered too much on that left hand. I mean, it looks more like a wrap mm-hmm. versus a, and I'm sure it's a cast or whatever, but it looks more like a wrap that you big uglies on the defensive line would use, mm-hmm. A, to keep your hands from being stepped on, but B, to intimidate people.
Well, it looks more like, kind of like, they always call it a boxing job.
Thank you.
Like what the boxers have underneath their gloves. And a lot of guys, like Warren Sapp was one guy that always just had the boxing tape job but never wore gloves. I don't know how he could do
foil,
that.
He didn't have foil, did he? Like the Hansons?
Right, right.
Do the foil.
Mm-hmm. No, there's obviously some sort of, it's a little thicker, but that's what it looks like. Kind of surprised by it. I didn't know what to expect, you know, because when you have a pin put in, you just don't know. I mean, but you have to make it to where you can be fully functional. The main thing is handing off the ball to the right, to his right. That's the biggest thing. Obviously, I don't think shotgun snaps are an issue, but taking a snap from under center, you know, that's that bottom hand for him. So there's got to be able to, for some give, and that's the biggest thing, because if that's a full hard cast, there's got to be, you need some sort of mobility, I would think. And then obviously I think you'd probably get some sort of numbing injection in there, and if he needs to go, then hey, that's what you got to do.
Now, before we get into what happens on Friday, are you going to give the people what they need to see? You and I were shooting the Time Warner
Spectrum now. Actually, it's Spectrum, isn't it? That's crazy. I just noticed that.
It's what my bill says. Thank you. The the Nebraska show with Megan.
Mm-hmm.
You shot that earlier today, airing at 7:00. To in case you're not a Denver.
Is it airing tonight or tomorrow?
I think it's tomorrow night.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah, I should have asked.
I guess.
Point is there was a moment where I was trying to fix my tie, and I had a weird facial expression that frightens many, and Johnny on spot was Jay Moore to take the old picture.
Yep.
Are you tweeting that out tomorrow and telling everyone happy Thanksgiving?
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
Depending how...
hey, you're not this guy. Happy Turkey Day.
Depending how many glasses of wine are in me, you know, how honorary I feel like getting. But
that was a good picture.
That was a good picture. I'll just save it in my back pocket, you know, just as blackmail. Just, you want to get smart and lippy with me? You know, hey, I still got this in my back pocket. So.
There we go. No, it makes me feel wonderful about myself. Well done with that. So maybe a compromising picture of me to be tweeted at some point in the next 48 hours. Get you ready for Nebraska, Iowa, because it's going to be an awkward football game.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of an ugly look to it, because
uh-huh.
Your quarterbacks are up in the air for Nebraska. Your quarterback play hasn't been awesome if you're Iowa. And then it's going to be the big guys up front, offensive and defensively. Can we get into what we expect on Friday?
Why not?
I don't. You know what? Here's my gut, man. My gut tells me that Nebraska's defense continues to play great football. And I'm not saying they shut out Iowa. I'm not saying you don't score a few points if you're Iowa, because they have some talent. I mean, mm-hmm. they're able to crank out 13 against Michigan's defense, and I kind of put Michigan's defense top tier along with Ohio State and Nebraska is really good, mm-hmm. but they're not quite Michigan, okay?
Sure.
So if they're able to find a way to manufacture 13 with some big plays against a Michigan, and I'm assuming Iowa will be not as up for Nebraska as they were Michigan, but it'll be close. Senior day, it's Nebraska. They'll be ready for it. The motivation won't be lacking, is what I'm trying to say. So I think Iowa will make some plays, but overall, I think Nebraska's defense is just in such an awesome groove right now. I'm jinxing them to just kind of control what they want to do and limit that Iowa offense. Because I don't think Beathard is going to be if he beats Nebraska, if he throws for 250 or 300 yards and torches Nebraska, I will be not only horrified, but that's the most shocked I will be than I can remember. Mm-hmm. That's not how Nebraska can go out. That's what they're going to force Iowa to try and do. But they can't go out after a great season, having CMT go 30 or 35 on you for three bills. Can't do it. Can't do it. Mm-hmm. So I think Nebraska's defense will be up to the challenge. As brutal as the special teams have been, I think they'll rise up, similar to Oregon. The last good special teams day they had between punting and the big DeMornay Pearson kick return, was Oregon. I think they'll rise to the occasion after being missing in action most of this second half of the season. I think Nebraska's special teams has something for Iowa. Iowa clearly doesn't pay attention. They have had no problem kicking to DeMornay Pearsonell 2 years ago or even last year. Mm-hmm. They didn't kick to him last year because he was hurt, but you get my point.
Right.
So I think there's something to be had for Nebraska on special teams. I think the offensive line will put a couple drives together. Maybe you'll get a good kick return. It's going to be defense, special teams, and enough run game. I'll give you my prediction here in a little while, about an hour from now. But I feel okay about this, and I think Tommy will manage and make enough plays. I think Nebraska will be okay in this, mainly because a hurt Tommy will do better than a not awesome, not in rhythm, and kind of just a worn-down Beathard. I think that's where Nebraska can win, and I think Nebraska, on the offensive side of the ball, I think they can pound away at Iowa. As good as Iowa's been playing defensively, I think there's a chance for them to get worn out a little bit, but it's going to have to be the offense taking care of the Nebraska defense so they're not on the field all day. Put some of those long drives together if you're Nebraska, control the clock, body blow it, and get out of town with a win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look at it. It's going to be a grind. I do. I think this is the first one of 20 wins type of ball game. I think both defenses will play very, very well. I think whoever can kind of sustain, you know, those methodical type of drives, you know, where you're getting...
Iowa's awful on third downs.
Where you're getting four, you know, you're getting four or five, you know, first downs throughout the drive. Nebraska was really good in that situation last week. We converted a lot of nice third down plays. Defensively, we're pretty well on the third down as well. But I'm not as optimistic as I about the whole special teams. I feel like in this type of game... And Grant, I mean, I look back to the year, the last time we were there, and we won with DeMorney.
Special teams and turnovers.
Yeah. Right, well, it was turnovers, and I believe we punted a ball into our own guy or got it blocked, and they ended up getting a touchdown off of a block kick, too. I mean, it was not very – I mean
– That was early in the game.
It was that the ups and downs of that game with the turnovers, with the special teams issues. I mean, obviously, you're down 17. There's a reason for it, but you're able to fight back. I kind of look at it, you look at Tommy's best games so far, let's say this year. I look at Oregon and I look at Minnesota. Those are games he got nicked up, he had issues. He seems to play better when he has something ailing injury, sickness or whatever. You look at Oregon, cramping issues, calf stuff that he had to come out. You saw Riker come in, fights back. Takes him on that drive, scores. Look at Minnesota, comes off the concussion, gets dinged up in the game with an ankle, comes back, plays well, leads him on another drive, scores. You know, I think he'll play well. I think he doesn't press as much. Yeah, I feel like just because he understands that he's limited maybe a little bit, but I believe he'll play well. But it just, again, it's just how it's just getting. The opportunities, when they're there, is taking advantage of them. I think the defense can create some turnovers, create some short fields, and it's just us getting points. It's hopefully Drew Brown's cleared, and I think field goals are going to be a huge part of this game. You know, we get some drives. Yeah, 3 points, you know what? I've always said that 3 points, you know, sometimes you give them up as a defense, that's a win. But in that type of ball game, man.
It's a loss if you settle for 3 versus 7, that's
right.
Where it gets hairy.
Sure, but I think the field goal, the kicking, but – Especially, I'm concerned about with special teams, this type of game, because when you got two pretty evenly matched teams, I'll still give a nod. You know, Nebraska is a little, I think, much better, but just the way these teams have been playing the last couple weeks, I feel like they're very even. Special teams are going to come down to it, and that makes me a little leery because our special teams have been awful. I mean, just absolutely putrid with how we've with where we've gone. I mean, you brought up Oregon, but. I just hate getting worse on things and simple things. I mean, getting kicked blocked. I mean, we have multiple kicks blocked. I mean, that rarely happens. Field goals, punts, giving up first downs. I mean, when you got your safe team out there or even just with your punt team. I mean, now we're to the point where even in that Maryland game, Maryland was punting from like their own 15.
They went for it.
No, I'm just saying, when we had our safe team out there.
Okay.
I mean – Are you just, we're just to point now, that's frustrating to me. I'm like, what are we doing? Do we not, are we now just so scared to send, because we're scared of giving up a fake play, or we're just, we don't want to go after him for a punt block? What are we doing? Do we practice this stuff? Are we, you know, so puckered in these situations, Bruce Reed, that you don't know what to do and you just, you know, say, hey, we're going to fold them here and we'll take the fair catch and move on? I don't know, but I don't think in this type of game like this, you got to be aggressive in these type of situations. And I know Iowa will be coming after us. That's because we're not very good.
Right? Why wouldn't you? The other thing, too, when it comes to Iowa, their offense, if their rushing yards have been 250 when they've won. They're at 57 when they've lost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So kind of a happy medium in there is going to be about 125 to 150 is the number that, right, I think you can live with, assuming you don't have Beathard throwing for 200. Desmond King and kickoff returns. That's given Iowa some short fields. That helped out tremendously at Michigan, against Michigan. That'll be big to put it in the end zone if Brownie can go. That's Jay Moore. I'm Chris Schmidt. Off and running on a Wednesday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. And we will have a discussion. Iowa, Nebraska, Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette. He's up next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Heading, welcome in with the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Talented writer Mark Morehouse with us on Hail Varsity. Mark, thanks for a few minutes today. How are you?
Great, Chris. How are you guys?
Doing outstanding. Well, we were discussing last segment, what do you expect on Friday? I think it's something Nebraska can handle on the road. Easier said than done. Mark, what are you expecting after seeing Iowa this week? Get ready. They're playing really good football right now. What's your feel for Friday afternoon?
I expect, you know, depending on Nebraska quarterback health, I expect maybe 150 yards total in passing. Iowa just hasn't been good throwing the ball this year at all. And I think Nebraska has plenty of weapons. I just wonder if whoever's back there, how healthy they are. So I expect kind of a low-scoring, sort of struggly game. I could see something happening like maybe sort of the 2011 game where Nebraska kind of put Iowa in a headlock and held it together 20-7. I think probably a little closer game. I'm a little more familiar with Iowa and what they've done this year. They seem to be on the uptick on the offensive and defensive lines. I don't know if that'll hold up against Nebraska, but that's kind of where I'm stuck right now. I've seen Iowa play pretty well. If they get to LaShawn Daniels part of the playbook and they get comfortable there, that would be good for Iowa.
Mark, Iowa's playing their best football of the year so far, pitching a shutout last week against Illinois. Is there a certain moment in a game or a player so far that kind of switched the momentum to where Iowa is now playing some of their best football?
I'd love to say that there's one, but it seems to me that this is the kind of year where Iowa has a couple stars. I mean, they had a couple stars come back. They put on posters, and Beathard and Desmond King, cornerback. Those guys have come through for the most part, but the team hasn't. And when Iowa gets pulled up, like last week at Illinois, it was 0-0 late in the first half. Riley McCarron returns a punt 55 yards for a touchdown and kind of gets things going. He's a former walk-on, short guy, wide receiver, kind of a Julian Edelman type. He kind of pulled them through in that game, got things going. I think if there's one guy on defense, I would look at Josie Jewell, linebacker. I think he's an all-Big Ten caliber player. He's a finalist for the Butkus Award. He's a junior. He possibly could consider coming out, but I think he stays. He's really sort of the engine for Iowa's defense. And then Iowa's offense, it's really hard to say because if Iowa's run game isn't working, it's going to be a long day. I think the magic number for Iowa can win this game if it can get to 40 carries. That means it's given the ball a lot to LaShawn Daniels. He's a 225-pound back who tore Illinois apart last week. If Iowa gets to him, he's their comfort food. That offense will be able to eat and relax and just give the big guy the ball and let it go. So I think you look on defense, Josie Jewell. Offense, you're looking at LaShawn Daniels.
I want to go to the defensive side. Jaleel Johnson, I mean, he made some momentum swinging plays against Michigan. He's been a force. He's another one of those really good interior Iowa defensive tackles. What's kind of raised his game, or has he had it all along this season? Or do you think he's kind of stepped his game up as the season's winding down?
I think the entire defense had kind of a wake-up call at Penn State. I mean, 599 yards total offense, that's the second most in the Ferentz era, and that, we're talking 18 years. 359 yards rushing, and then after the game, Saquon Barkley, who's fantastic, by the way, says, it looked like Iowa's defense didn't really want to be out there in the second half. And that kind of got everybody's attention, as you might imagine, and Iowa's really responded to that and comes out the next week against Michigan, holds Michigan to 201 yards. That's a Harbaugh era low. And then last week, you guys know that Illinois is sort of a free square on Candyland, so they're really kind of a blank spot. But Iowa's defense, I think Saquon Barkley kind of gave them a little bit of a wake-up call, a little bit of a reality check. And last week, you know, at Illinois, then it's Iowa saying that about Illinois. So if Iowa can get anywhere near that position, and I'm not sure it will. I think they're pretty evenly matched up front. I'm giving Iowa a little bit of an edge because I think they're a little bit mature body-wise there. But I think if Iowa gets anywhere near that, it'll be a close game. It'll be a four-quarter game anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mark, if this game is played on a Saturday instead of the Black Friday, is it a rivalry game?
Oh, you know, that's a great question. At first I thought, why is Iowa, you know, saying yes to Nebraska's tradition? But the more time that gets wrapped around it, the more I think people around here are kind of getting it and kind of digging it. And right now, I think, you know, if you look at the TV ratings the last couple of years, amazing. That's something that Iowa and really even Nebraska now really can't say no to. So I'm all for Friday. I think it is a rivalry on Friday. Now, you can question, you know, and I think this is a fan-based debate. You know, Iowa looks at Nebraska and they think, well, you guys live in the past. And, Nebraska looks at Iowa and goes, what have you guys ever done?
Exactly.
I love it, kind of. I love how they both kind of fight over that. And, Friday, let's keep it going. I'm starting to enjoy it.
Mark Morehouse, a few more minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio with the Cedar Rapids Gazette does a great job covering the Hawkeyes. Let's talk recruiting for a minute. And I loved your story earlier this week regarding Coach Ferentz and just how kind of honest he was regarding recruiting and the Iowa rule of if you commit, you're with us and you can't visit. But the flip side of that is they're continuing to look at other running backs or wideouts or other players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough spot. And that's how Iowa's always been. Once you commit, you can't shop, so to speak. And they've lost some recruits for that. Do you eventually see him relenting on that stance, or is he going to dig his heels in even further here?
No, I don't see him relenting. It's actually been around. I mean, they've had that policy around
a while.
Since I can remember. And I remember it cost him one linebacker who was kind of a borderline sort of even offer guy. He visited Wisconsin, and they said goodbye. That's the only one that really jumps out to me. This year, it's a huge thing. Iowa's shopping in a different area this year. They're doing a lot of business in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they hooked in with a lot of kids who have options. So Ferentz has always been flexible in the past. You know, if a guy wanted to visit, as long as he was up front with that, you know, saying, hey, I'm with Iowa. I feel like I need to make these visits. I'd like to go here. I don't think Iowa said, nope, get out, you're done. Iowa has kind of worked with guys that they know they've needed in the past. For whatever reason, this year it's not worked out, and it's become sort of a headline. I don't see Ferentz relenting on this thing. I think the most important thing for Iowa in recruiting, maybe above everything else, maybe this they value this too much, but there has to be a fit. They have to feel good about being here and getting yelled at by these coaches for 4 or 5 years. So it's all about culture. It's all about fit. And right now, I think, you know, I hate to say it, but I don't want to speak to them. I think they're, you know, they're waving by to some really great kids, but I think they're okay to be waving by.
Let's talk about one you got, and that's Noah Fant. His production level and his role on Friday, do you think he could be a big-time target? I know Kittle's been cleared to play, but he's a bit gimpy. What about Noah, and what's he done?
He's been a kind of a pleasant surprise this year. I think his first target was a back shoulder throw about 35 yards down the field, and he dropped it. But he will catch those, and he will push this thing forward. I think next year he'll be the guy at tight end. Right now, you know, being a true freshman, 225-ish pounds, Iowa demands that his tight ends block, and that's a tough call for him. The two guys who you'll probably see mostly Saturday are basically offensive tackles, guys who maybe are 250-pound offensive tackles, Peter Peeker and Nate Weeding. Iowa runs has kind of gotten into the comfort level, a real comfort level with two tight end sets in the last couple of games. They feel good blocking in the perimeter. It feels like it gives them an advantage. Fant hasn't been in on those. He's getting about 10 to 15 snaps a game right now, mostly as a receiver. So I imagine probably maybe as many as three targets, but I don't see him being a huge factor on Friday.
Mark, I got to ask you, do you think Tommy Frazier still has it for Friday?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I saw that, and I think some Iowa players were joking. I think they actually called, said Tommy Frazier. They kept saying Tommy Frazier, so he would bite on it. And, boy, there was one anyway. And I noticed that in our TV show, Jaleel Johnson, defensive tackle, was saying, yeah, Armstrong and Frazier, and I'm like, did he say Frazier? So, yeah, it's been kind of a gag this week.
Yeah, I just, Tommy on that option attack, short side. I mean, it's just rough. Mark, if Nebraska fans are headed your way, and on your Twitter bio, you're a beer guy. What, you got a suggestion beer-wise? Because Jay and I like us some beer.
Yeah, if you guys will probably go through Des Moines, and I would say stop at if you can find Alluvial Brewing, that's fantastic. If you can find 515 Brewing, that's fantastic. And if you hit a Hy-Vee and you see Toppling Goliath, mostly the Sosus, S-O-S-U-S, buy them all.
Mm-hmm. It, Jay does.
Oh, yeah.
My partner,
Toppling Goliath, is delicious.
Cleans Hy-Vee out. Mm-hmm. I will not lie to you. If you come this way next year, I'm sure you will. We'll get you hooked up at some zipline stuff. Mark Morehouse with us on Hail Varsity Radio, at Mark Morehouse on Twitter. Mark, take care. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Mark Morehouse with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. The joke there, if you haven't seen it on social media, is the reference to Tommy Frazier, not Tommy Armstrong, and then a newspaper in Iowa said Hawks weary of Frazier on the front sports page.
It was in big, bold letters, too.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. That's cool for Noah Fant.
That is great. Playing as a true freshman.
Yeah. I'm sure Nebraska fans are like, mm-hmm. It's a little rough.
Yeah.
Well, I like what he said, 41 rush yards. That means it's working, and that means you're punching away at the Nebraska defense. And, you know, Beathard, we'll see. I think he'll raise his game as well. But I love what you said last segment about when Tommy's been dinged, he's played some of his best football.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's just kind of self-policed, so that's good stuff. Safe driving, it demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related, many of those drivers involved. Buzzed while driving, remember, if you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Before we are done this hour, we'll get you qualified for a six-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. We'll do that giveaway here towards the end of the 4 o'clock hour. Maybe sneak one in the 5 o'clock hour. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, thanks to Mark Morehouse, as we continue on getting ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. So, Hail Varsity back with you. Brad Edwards, 30 minutes away.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks for spending time. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks to Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette. And usually we do the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Shuey is gone. So we will resume the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment next week after the holiday weekend. But great membership benefits and pricing. And you can see Shuey, of course, and Chris Thompson, wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106. Bird, you're going to be there this weekend, weather permitting, correct?
Well, it's going to be nice. It's going to be 60. It's going to be 55 still on Friday. I know the game's
really?
At 2:30, so most Husker fans. But if you're one of those people that like to go and maybe listen to on the radio while you play golf, hey, I'm sure you can find wide-open tee times down at Wilderness on Friday and 60 degrees on Saturday. So get over there and make your tee times. But if not, when the weather does start turning, you know, a little more chilly, schedule yourself one of those heated bays down there on the south side of the range. You can schedule it. They got hour. He sells it for an hour. I don't know exactly the price, but it's a great deal. Work on your game this winter, get better, and hit some balls. And it's kind of fun to do that when it's, you know, 30 degrees outside and no one else is out playing.
That's the way to do it. Let's talk philosophy for a couple of minutes here when it comes to recruiting. And do you like, I'm going to ask you as a Nebraska fan if you like something Iowa does, but walk with me here. Do you like Captain Kirk's policy when it comes to recruiting? As in, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya if you sign that letter they send out. And I'm not talking about the official letter of intent, but there's a contract that goes out where your job is step one to no longer visit any other schools. If you do verbally commit to Iowa, step two is inform the other schools that you're good. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm done. I'm dating Iowa now. And while I think it's noble, I love the disciplinary approach. I think the real world today says you've got to be flexible. You got to play the game a little bit with these kids, especially if you're in on a kid that the peer groups recruiting him are the who's who.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because Saban doesn't do this. SC under Carroll didn't do this. Urban doesn't do this, to my knowledge. And, of course, Nebraska doesn't do
right.
this, and they're going after some high-profile guys. And I get the need to find fit. You can, if you find the right fit and the kid's a good football player, it'll all work out, and the kid will be playing well for you, barring injury. Okay, so his approach is noble, but it is completely outdated. And he's going to look really, really outdated by not changing with the times. And I'm surprised that he's going to continue to do this. And I remember talking to a guy who was a part of the recruiting process between Iowa and Ott. Okay. And Ott was on the Nebraska sidelines with some Nebraska gear on. It was an unofficial because – I mean, obviously, Ott's a Nebraska kid that ended up doing great things at Iowa. But Iowa saw a picture of that and, like, just got all over Ott. And then, even though it was an unofficial, it still, they raised some hell about it with him. At least that's what I've been told. And he stayed and stuck with Iowa, and that was a loss for Nebraska, as good as he was. So, your take on this. How would you have reacted, Bird, if, or you tell me, did Nebraska say, okay, you've got an offer from Iowa because Ferentz offered you. Mm-hmm. Iowa State wanted you. Some other schools looked at you and wanted you. And how would you have reacted if Nebraska at the time would have said, no, you can't be scoping out other broads?
Well, it was fine, actually, because I wasn't scoping out. Once I committed, it was a done deal. I mean, maybe, and I say maybe, like a half percent. Like I was 99.5%. Other half was potentially maybe going to check it out in Notre Dame. I've always said I like the tradition and like what they did at Notre Dame. Obviously, they weren't very good under Bob Davey at the time.
No.
But there was no – they could have done it. I'd been completely fine. But I'm not going to – I mean, I kind of like what Iowa does. I do. I mean, it just says don't –
Does it fit with the times,
here's though? I don't think you have to. I think in nowadays where – I think – listen, it's your blueprint. And you want kids that are committed to you. You don't want kids. Here's the deal. Here's my only take with this is I hope Iowa is not pressuring them. Like a lot of times you go and kids go on these visits. They'll sit, you know, usually before you leave, you'll sit and with your mom and dad or whoever it is in the head coach's office, in this case, Kirk Ferentz's office in Iowa City. and he's putting heavy, heavy pressure on you to commit.
It's a hard sell.
To commit right there.
You need a new car.
And a lot of kids, and you're young, you don't have, you just don't know. You hate to tell someone in this position no. So then all of a sudden, you made a bad decision. I hope that's not the case. Now, if he's just saying, hey, if you want to commit here, hey, but this is our scenario, but if you want to look at other schools, you just can't commit. I get it. Like, I don't mind it. I think there needs to be more commitment, because anymore, I think kids love the recruiting process and they love football. They love being courted.
I mean, versus then busting through two-a-days.
Right. They want to. I mean, I think kids need to be more committed these days. I do. I think if you commit to something, you got to stick with it. You know,
I'm at 100% agreement with you. That's ideally how it works. That's not how it is.
No, but.
Right.
But if you're unsure, you're like, I don't know. Don't commit. Simple as that. You don't commit, because you tell, hey, coach, I'm not sure yet. I really like Nebraska. I really like Wisconsin. I really like Minnesota. You know, those type of kids that, you know, get recruited by Iowa. You know, maybe Iowa State. I want to go check out the new head coach over there. Okay, fine. That's fine. Don't commit, because, you know, but. When it does come time, you want to commit here. This is our deal. I think you just, if you're gonna be in this situation, I mean, you're like Iowa. You just take your time. You just really take your time, unless you're a kid like me, where you wanted to go to Nebraska or Iowa the whole time since you've been growing up. And once the offer was there, you're good. You, even though you're getting still recruited, you didn't give a damn. But I don't mind it. I don't. I think kids nowadays need to, you know, commit to it. If they're gonna do it. I mean, there's too much wishy-washy, I'm in, I'm out.
Oh, you're showing me the love.
Right, I'm not getting my, I'm not getting my way. I'm taking my ball and going somewhere else.
I am 1,000% agreement with you that the attitude and maturity needs to change with decision makers and the kid. I mm-hmm. believe that. And part of that maturity is also knowing that you don't know.
Right.
So don't commit.
Right. Just know the situation.
Don't, but also, and I'm not pointing at Iowa or Nebraska or any program, but just the hard sell that does happen.
Right. No, that's what
getting caught up in the moment.
It better not. That would piss me off, knowing that he has this system and he's doing this hard sell, like put backing him in the corner. You know, that's not fair. That's not right.
We don't know that that's
right.
Happening.
I know. I'm saying that would make it wrong. But I would have an issue if that was the case. But I'm assuming that's not the case, just knowing Kirk Ferentz and the type of guy he is. I don't have an issue with it at all.
The other flip side of this, though, that is also fair to talk about is if you're the running back that does want to commit to Iowa, I know there's going to be competition, but you can't go look at other options, but yet they're recruiting other running backs.
Sure, very good point.
That's,
very good point.
That's frustrating.
Very good point.
We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
10 minutes away, Brad Edwards with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning. Now, Kevin Maurice will be big on Friday, and he's not a stuffing guy. I didn't ask you. Are you a stuffing guy?
Absolutely.
What do you dislike Thanksgiving food-wise?
There's not a lot.
You're not anti-cranberry, are you?
Oh, I love cranberry.
Good work.
TJ
is giving you the stink eye.
See, it's like I have to have everything. So it'll be the turkey, it's the gravy, it's the stuffing, it's the mashed potatoes, and it's the cranberry sauce over everything. And then I want all of that together in one bite.
Okay.
Because that's just.
It's heaven.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Do you like the corn succotash type?
I'm not a huge corn guy. I'll eat it. Green bean casserole, it's okay.
Come on now. You're being evil.
No, I mean
green bean casserole is part of the four food groups. It's awesome.
It's I can take it or leave it.
You haven't had the right kind.
Well, apparently, sweet potatoes now.
Yes,
but I'll take them like healthy or loaded with like cinnamon and sugar and butter. Either way, they're great.
You got to go cholesterol city on those.
Pumpkin pie, apple pie.
Pecan.
Pecan's great, but I like pumpkin over the pecan. It's like a 2-3 seed matchup there. You know, they're both pretty good, but the two seed wins.
Pecan's a top seed. Anyone who disagrees with that doesn't know their food.
I'll take an apple pie with ice cream over all of those any day.
Eh, I don't know. You know what I'm taking with me to the in-laws?
Okay.
Zipline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of Zipline.
Kolsch action.
Yes, Zipline Brewing Company. Go see Marcus and the fine folks at Zipline. Do so today and do so before the contest on Friday. Zipline has just been incredible the last 4 years. Record sales, and they've started right here in Lincoln. And be sure to try their amazing gold medal winning copper alt, nationally recognized IPA, and they have a beer for your taste. 40 different beers. Two locations in Lincoln, one tap room, the original West O. If you're coming into town and you need to escape the in-laws, I say that tongue-in-cheek, but listen, if you are in town for the holiday weekend, find your way to Zipline, West O, their tap room, or the new beer hall you got to find your way to. You got to check out 56th and Pine Lake in Southeast Lincoln, a modern German beer hall, 24 taps, community tables, J. Moore approved. And if you're in Central or Western or Northeast Nebraska, we invite you to try Zipline beer today, available on draft or in six packs across the state at your local grocery store or bottle shop. And of course, the two tap rooms, 56th and Pine Lake and Lincoln, or West O. The hours at the new tap room at 56th and Pine Lake, Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sundays, noon to 6. Brewed in Lincoln, Zipline, poured for all of Nebraska. See your friends at Zipline Brewing Company today. And make it part of your Thanksgiving festivities. Okay, Brad Edwards, college football playoff rankings. Not a lot of shakeup, but a lot of talk for rivalry weekend. Could be a ton of shakeup a week from today, quite honestly, after rivalry weekend. So we'll get thoughts from ESPN's Brad Edwards. Klausberg in the Friday forecast is on deck. Hour two coming up. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, and TJ Henning, producing and engineering. Big thanks to Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. It was not his paper that said Tommy Frazier was playing at quarterback, or could play at quarterback, on Friday. Welcome in ESPN Insider college football analyst Brad Edwards, at J. Brad Edwards. Brad, how you doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to getting to watch a little NFL for the first time this year, tomorrow, and then obviously a big weekend of college football is going to be in full force on Friday.
It is. You have Black Friday and then rivalry weekend and college football playoff rankings, and Louisville got stomped by Houston, and you kind of knew that maybe was looming. But otherwise, not a lot of shifting going on. And, Brad, as we look towards rivalry weekend here, let's start with Ohio State and into Michigan here. And do you have a lean? Which way are you thinking about that one? That's the buildup's going to be huge for that one on Saturday. And Michigan looks out, down and out, because of the quarterback spot, but it's still rivalry weekend, and it's still Michigan, Ohio State. How impactful will that game be when it comes to the trickle down with the rest of the college football rankings?
Yeah, it's a huge game just because a Michigan win would probably put the Big Ten in a situation where they're only going to get one team in, while an Ohio State win, assuming that Penn State beats Michigan State later in the day, could create a situation where the Big Ten gets two teams. So it's definitely going to have an impact on the other conferences across the country. In terms of the game itself, you know, it's hard not to pick Ohio State, but I don't feel great about them going into this game. I mean, as down as Michigan has looked in the last few weeks relative to the way they were playing before that, I still don't feel great about Ohio State. Maybe it's partly because everyone's just assuming they've won. I mean, if you listen to the playoff talk, it's like, okay, you know, everyone wants to talk about the Ohio State-Penn State scenario, and nobody is really considering what happens if Michigan wins. Maybe that's, you know, partly because it doesn't change a whole lot if Michigan wins. But still, I think, you know, Michigan is good enough defensively that the way that Ohio State has struggled at various points this season on offense, especially throwing the ball downfield, I think they have the personnel to be able to, you know, to keep them under 20 points. And if they can do that, they have a shot. I don't know. I don't think Michigan's going to be able to score much more than 20, but if they can keep this thing low scoring, you know, bust a big play on offense, make a big play on special teams, or, you know, force a turnover to give them short field, whatever it may be, if they can get out to an early lead, I definitely give them a chance.
Brad, looking at the rest of the college football playoff, there always seems like there's one or two teams that, you know, someone says, oh, they got screwed, they need more respect. It always seems like this week that one team was USC, even though they have three losses, but people thought with the whole eyeball, the quote-unquote eyeball test, they should be up there a little higher. Where are you at in this whole USC thing? Because obviously the whole three losses thing is still, the committee says that's what you did early in the year is still a little too much to give you too much respect.
Yeah, I just got through doing a piece on USC, basically talking about how they are arguably the second-best team in the nation to Alabama right now. But at the same time as recognizing that, you also have to recognize that the season didn't start at the beginning of October. It started at the beginning of September. And it all counts. And that's why USC, you know, we talk a lot with the selection committee, and are they looking for the four best teams or the four most deserving? And there are a lot of different ways you can interpret those terms. But I think as it applies to USC, at the end of the season, I think it'd be really tough to argue USC is not one of the four best teams. I think it'd be incredibly tough to argue that they're one of the four most deserving. And even if you're talking about best over the entire season, it's tough to make a case for them. Now, you know, I think that's what the committee is looking for. They're not looking for the four who are playing the best as we go into the bowl season. If that's all it was, then I think there would be a lot of years that you know, that we'd be shortchanging results of games that were played earlier in the year, and that's not what anybody wants to do because they all have to matter. But USC, no question, is playing really well. And look, I think as much as the committee could sit there and say, yeah, you know what, we got to take in consideration they changed quarterback and how well they're playing since that change. On the other side of the coin, you also have to say, well, you know what, if their coaching staff, if it took them that many weeks to figure out who their best quarterback was, then you have to blame them for that as well. And so you could take either side of it, but very clearly, Sam Darnold is a much better quarterback than Max Brown, and I'm not sure why it did take them till week four to make that switch.
Brad Edwards, few minutes with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. We're talking college football playoff. We'll get his thoughts on Nebraska, Iowa. I assume, and tell me if I'm wrong, but you put Wisconsin up there as the best two-loss team. Do you agree with that?
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I guess I do. Okay. I guess I have them. Yeah.
You have Wisconsin there, but tell me after them, do you like Colorado over Penn State, or do you like Penn State, what they've done over Colorado? What do you think of the Buffs and the Lions?
You know, I'm still waiting for Colorado to beat someone.
Okay.
And that's my thing with them. They have looked really good, and last week was a big win against Washington State. And quite honestly, I expected that to be a really tight game. Colorado kind of exceeded my expectations there. I'm not big on Utah, which is, you know, who they play this weekend to try to clinch that Pac-12 South. So I expect them to win that game. And even though Utah tends to play every game of the season within 7 points, I still feel like, you know, that's a game that Colorado should win about as comfortably as it did last week. The Pac-12 championship game, I guess, is what it's going to take to really sell me on Colorado. And if they win that game, I think you could make an argument based on resume that they are as good as any other two-loss team out there. I mean, maybe, if Ohio State beats Michigan, then certainly Michigan, especially with the head-to-head against Colorado, would look better on a lot of the boxes that you would check. But Michigan would not have closed well. They definitely would not have been the same team that they were at the time they played Colorado in September. But, yeah, the Buffs are good. I think the question still remains how good, and are they good enough to even be considered for the top four? But if they do win out, I think it would take a win over Washington in order to get them the credibility needed to even be in that conversation at the end. If they just end up beating Washington State a second time, I don't think that'll be enough to do it for them.
Is Oklahoma moving the meter for you at all?
No.
No.
No, I don't believe in any team that can't play defense.
Okay.
And, I mean, look, we saw them jump out to the, whatever, 21, 28, nothing lead, whatever it was last week. And they ended up, you know, cruising to a pretty easy win. But I think what was lost in all that is that they allowed a West Virginia running back who'd been, you know, kind of a nobody throughout the season to run for over 300 yards on them. And prior to that, their issue had been pass defense, and they've been torched by a number of teams through the air. And I do recognize when you score a lot of points like they do, there's a tendency for, for the defense to get burned more than typical defenses do. But we have a lot of different metrics that look at this stuff, and by the numbers, and I'm not talking about just simple yards per game, points per game, but more advanced stuff where you're looking at things on a per play, per drive basis, and you're kind of adjusting it for the quality of the offenses that they're going against. This is by far the worst defense Bob Stoops has had in 18 years at Oklahoma. And I thought that the ones that he had, like, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago were substandard, but this one is worse. So, look, I heard someone say the other day that Oklahoma is a team that you wouldn't want to play right now. I completely disagree. If I'm a team that's in the playoff, if I can choose my opponent for the semifinal, give me someone who doesn't play defense any day of the week. Mm.
Brad, I got to ask you real quick about Notre Dame and their situation. You know, the NCAA rules them to vacate all those wins from just a few years ago. Definitely, in my opinion, unfair. I want to get your thoughts. And do you think Notre Dame gets this appeal and gets those wins back?
Yeah, it's such an odd case. I don't know. I don't know how the NCAA arrived at that. I mean, obviously, we're all against, you know, cheating and academic fraud or whatever you want to call it. But at the same time, you know, I look at vacated wins as something that, at the end of the day, like, unless you're taking a championship off the board, you know, causing them to bring down a banner, who is it really punishing other than the head coach? And in this case with Notre Dame, they're not in a conference. They didn't win a conference title, and they lost in the national championship game. So they didn't lose a championship because of this. The only person it's hurting is Brian Kelly. It's taking away from his career record. And in this particular case, I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that this is something that he knew about or should have known about. And so I just think there's a fine line there with the NCAA in terms of, you know, this type of penalty. Now, you know, is it really that much of a penalty when it's all said and done? Not to Notre Dame. Like I said, it's really more of a penalty to Brian Kelly than anybody else. But I think he has a good argument to try to get it reduced. We've seen past in the past with the NCAA and a couple of times when there have been appeals and they have reduced some of the sanctions in terms of vacated wins, but I'm just not sure. Well, what is a vacated win worth anyway? I mean, you have a loser of a game and no winner. I can tell you this: as someone who deals with historical events and trends and things like that a lot, it's an absolute nightmare. You know, like you're trying to calculate winning streaks and things, and you've got a game with no winner. It's just to me, it's silly.
Brad, let's get your thoughts on Nebraska, Iowa. What are you thinking on Friday?
Well, I guess you guys have probably been talking all week. Whatever the situation is with the quarterback at Nebraska, and and his health, I think, is going to be the major story here. You know more than I do on that front. But, you know, prior to Iowa's game against Michigan a couple weeks ago, I would have thought that Iowa was just kind of going to cruise quietly into the end of the season with a very mediocre year, but they decided to rise up and play a game. I still don't think that they're a really good team. They're decent, and certainly this is a game that Nebraska can win. I think they're going to need good quarterback play to go on the road and beat Iowa, and it's just a matter of, you know, are they even in position to get that? We've talked about this all season when I've come on, which is that if Nebraska can get to 10 wins, it doesn't matter whether they win the division or not. I mean, that is a great step forward. And I know they could still get the 10th win in a bowl game, but to me, if they can get this one on the road, then that would be an outstanding result, especially when you consider that one of their two losses was in overtime against Wisconsin.
The feel we have is that Tommy will go, and the question is how long can he go, how effective can he be? But we're thinking he'll be under center for Nebraska, and he can't make mistakes against Iowa. You got to be more of a manager, and then sprinkle in a play or two on third down where you do make a play, but the run game will be interesting to see as well as Iowa's been playing defensively. But, yeah, Nebraska's absolutely got a shot, and I think Jay and I feel better that Armstrong will be able to go. Lastly, Brad, about 60 seconds. Need to take on Alabama. Auburn, need to take on Washington. Washington State, where are you leaning?
Well, Apple Cup, I'm kind of leaning Washington State. Washington, I didn't like the way that they looked at Utah, which was their first big win of the season. Obviously liked even less the way they looked against USC. And I didn't think they were incredibly sharp last week against Arizona State. Obviously Washington State, not a great result for them last week. But I just think at home, with this game meaning all it does, you're going to get Washington State's A game. And I'm not sure with some of the injuries, very key injuries Washington's had on defense, that they're going to be up to the task. I'm picking Washington State in a mild upset there. With the Iron Bowl, look, Auburn is going to have to play a great game defensively in order to have a chance to win. I think they're going to have to hold Alabama to 17 or fewer, and even then, that might not be enough. They have injury concerns at both quarterback and running back, and Cameron Petway, who's their leading rusher, is their between-the-tackles guy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's like a freight train, just running downhill, and he got hurt in the Vanderbilt game, missed the Georgia game, and you saw what their offense did or was unable to do without him in there. If he's not close to 100%, I don't think they have the between-the-tackles threat in order to make all the stuff they do to the perimeter effective. And so with so many questions there, I just don't see Auburn scoring many points. Look, it's tough to score in Alabama anyway, but especially when you're not at 100% on offense.
Brad, a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thanks for a few minutes today. Great to catch up, and we'll talk next week as we get closer to the championship Saturday. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, almost done. All right, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yeah, thanks, you take Brad. Care, Brad. Appreciate it. Good stuff from Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider. College game day, and good stuff there. He's liking Wazoo. Maybe we lean that way for the Friday forecast.
Maybe.
For Wednesday. Maybe we don't. I don't know. Good stuff from Brad Edwards. You know, and a good tweet came in from Dan. Asked a really good question. Whose O-line's better? Is it Wisconsin or Iowa's? And I'm saying, well, absolutely, I love Wisconsin's offensive line, but Iowa's offensive line put up enough rushing yards to beat Michigan.
Right.
And by the way, Michigan beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Forecast is next.
Welcome back to the Hale Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
A happy Thanksgiving to one and all as we get you ready. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Good stuff from Brad Edwards. Well, usually it's Friday for the Friday forecast. Moving it up because we are off Thursday and Friday. Our weekly forecast presented to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program. The Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline, 1-800-522-4700. Uncle Nate of Gary Michaels is busy selling ties and sport coats, so he is not on today. Brandon Vogel is in with Hail Varsity. Great stuff on hot reads, specifically the hamstring supplement. Vogues, good afternoon. How are you, bud?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, man. We're ready for the holiday. Jay Moore is in for another forecast appearance, as is TJ Henning. Klausburn, back from the detention center. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay, and I want to apologize to you, Christopher, and to all the listeners across the Hail Varsity Network. I had to fumigate the garage and let Carl know that the Penguins made the playoffs, and those two things are not unrelated. So, needless to say, I was very busy, but I'm glad we could make time today.
I am extremely happy as well. Let's get rolling here. We'll start with the Apple Cup. Washington minus -6. At Wazoo, the Pirate needs to hook me up because I picked him last week and Ralphie went nuts. Give me the Fighting Cougars in air raid. I'm going to go 2 in a row. Give me Washington State the upset 38-31 over them Huskies. TJ.
Yeah, I like a Pac-12 shootout here between Browning and Falk. I like Washington State 45, Washington 44.
They're 2 for 2. Jay Bird.
You always got to love a home underdog. So it's going to be a close one. I'm going to go 52-48 in this scoring frenzy to the Pirate.
All right. We're 3 for 3. Vogel, make me proud.
Last week notwithstanding, Washington State is typically a great against the spread team. And you got to like catching points at home. But Washington's just significantly better. I'll take the Huskies 45-21.
You're evil. Okay. Klausburn, what do you think, the Pirate or the Huskies?
Well, I've seen a lot of Washington games this year, and I'm really pretty impressed with what I've seen. But I haven't seen a lot of Washington State games. It's almost as if every time Mike Leach's teams take the field, I'm locked in some sort of shed.
Oh, but come on.
But he didn't help me out. I sent away for some game film, but all he sent me was a copy of The Curse of the Black Pearl with Johnny Depp, so I really didn't learn anything from that. But, Christopher, I think you're a smart fella, so I'll agree with you, and I'll say Washington State wins this one by a score of 45-38.
All right, Michigan and Ohio State. Ohio State minus -6.5 at home. Brad may have swayed me a bit here, Brad Edwards, because he's feeling Michigan on this. I think Michigan's a mess at quarterback, but Peppers is good. Ohio State both got caught with the look-ahead game, and as bad as Sparty's record is, that's a brutal place to play, and they kind of have Ohio State's number. That said, I'm going to go with Ohio State, the win at home, and the win but not the cover. Give me Ohio State 24 and Michigan 21. Buckeyes win and hold their breath. Jay.
I like Ohio State in this one. I'll take Ohio State barely to cover, 24-17.
Okay. TJ.
Yeah, Michigan is a mess at quarterback with either Corn or Morris. I'm going Ohio State 23, Michigan 10.
Okay. Brandon Vogel, Hail Varsity.
Yeah, a bit surprised the number's as big as it is. I do think Ohio State's better, particularly at home. I think this is one of the games where, quarterback play notwithstanding, Michigan can kind of find some creative ways to maybe get some points. They're not going to win, so I'll take Ohio State 27-24.
Okay. Klausberg.
Well, choosing between Michigan and Ohio State as far as who I want to win is like choosing whether I want to get kicked in the groin or punched in the face. But I came up with a method to choose. I found out recently that Jim Harbaugh's favorite music artist was Bob Marley. Mm. Carl was on our couch for a couple of months. I got really upset. And I'll take Ohio State to win 31-21.
I got the reference. You cut out a bit, but Bob Marley and Carl, okay. Auburn at Bama, the Iron Bowl, 17.5. Don't know if Sean White, don't think he's going to go for Auburn. It may not matter. Give me Bama, but this rivalry thing is real. So give me Bama in the win, but not the cover, 34-20. 20 might be generous to Auburn, but I just think it'll be tight. It'll be close. They've always been close, and it'll stay that way. But Bama wins but doesn't cover, Jay.
Yeah, this one's another fairly tight one in the first half. I think Bama just pulls away in the second half. I like them 31-17.
31-17, says Jay. TJ.
Yeah, whoever is at quarterback, whether it be Sean White, Jeremy Johnson, or John Franklin III for Auburn, I think they're in trouble. I like Bama 35, Auburn 13.
Okay, so TJ's all over Big Al and Roll Tide. Vogues, what do you think? You've been to this one the last couple of years.
No, I haven't been to the Iron Bowl. I've been to Alabama a couple times. I'd like to get down there. But, I think Bama goes knives out here. Saban's had a week of showing them crappy film against Chattanooga last week. It's a hated rival, and that defense is just so freakishly good. So I'll take Bama to win and cover 31-10.
Okay, so you're all over Roll Tide. Clausburn, what do you think here? Do you like Bama? Do you like Auburn?
Well, I'm just surprised at the high scores you guys are picking. I think we're really going to see a defensive battle. In fact, I don't know what we're going to see less of in this game, whether it be points scored or teeth or shirt sleeves. I really don't know which way to go on that. And in this game, I'm really conflicted. I think Alabama's the better team in a vacuum, but in a rivalry game, I think Auburn might make it close, but I'll still take Bama in this one, 14-10.
Ooh, all right. It's really low scoring. Minnesota is at Wisconsin, Whiskey minus 14. Nebraska needs a little gopher love. TJ, start us off.
Yeah, a lot of people have struggled against that Wisconsin defense, and I don't see Mitch Leidner in that offense figuring it out. Wisconsin 20, Minnesota 6.
You know, is this the game that Wisconsin just kind of self-implodes turnover-wise? They have not had one of those yet. They've not had an off, unfocused week yet. When are they going to run out of juice? When are they going to run out of energy? It would have happened, is my point. It's a rivalry game, so it'll be a bit closer. Give me Wisconsin 31. Give me Minnesota 20. An 11-point win, but no cover for Wisconsin. Jaybird.
Yeah, another game that I feel like will be a little closer in that first half, but that Wisconsin D is too tough. Give me Wisconsin 24, Minnesota 14.
Okay. Vogues, what happens here?
Yeah, you know, Nebraska really shut down Minnesota's run game. Wisconsin's run defense is better. And the Gophers, as TJ mentioned, Mitch Leidner, they are not throwing the ball well enough to be able to get this one done. I think the Badgers, well, they obviously know what's at stake, but they're playing really well and playing like it. They'll win here 30-14.
Okay, so a big-time win for Paul Bunyan's axe. Clausburn, Wisconsin or Minnesota?
Well, this game is going to be like watching your overweight uncle who has been wearing the same sweatshirt for the past 15 years fight your also overweight nephew who's wearing your uncle's hand-me-downs at the Thanksgiving dinner table over a turkey leg. It's kind of funny for some, appalling for others, and either way, someone's going to get hurt and gravy will be everywhere. So this game will be a close one, I think closer than some think, but Wisconsin will walk away with the win, 20-17.
Okay, so a bit of a tease, but it's ultimately Wisconsin to Indianapolis. Okay, Nebraska-Iowa, the line is now at -2 for the Hawkeyes. TJ, start us.
Yeah, special teams haven't shown us anything to give me hope in this, but I think Nebraska gets a special teams touchdown, either kick return or punt return. Nebraska 21, Iowa 13.
Ooh, the win and the cover for sure. Nebraska says, TJ says Nebraska. Jay, what do you think here, Nebraska or Iowa?
Yeah, it's going to be a close one. I don't think special teams will play well. I don't expect them to, but I think Drew Brown kicks a game winner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
20-17. First one of 20 wins.
20-17. You know what? I feel good about this, and I think Nebraska will get enough done on the ground. I think Tommy will be a calming influence and make a couple of plays. And I love that Nebraska defense, and I love how they're playing. And they will be geared up. They will finish strong. They will survive in Iowa City. Give me Nebraska 17, Iowa 10. Vogues.
Yeah, first one to 20 feels about right to me. That said, Iowa's just a little bit healthier at this point. Like, it's tough for me to go against the Huskers' knack for sort of being in games and winning them this season, but this seems like one where that one might run out. So I'll go the opposite of Jay. Iowa 20, Nebraska 17.
Brandon Vogel says the Hawkeyes. Vogues, that was honest and gutsy. I appreciate it. Klausberg, Iowa, Nebraska, Hawks minus 2. What happens Friday?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I have to admire TJ's confidence in something happening when there's no evidence at all that it's going to happen.
Something's got to break loose, right?
Well, I imagine that could happen, and it could also happen that TJ goes home with Kate Upton tonight. So you stay optimistic, little buddy. But I think Nebraska goes in there and plays fairly well and wins the game, and then Iowa can get back to caring about the things that only they care about: pig farming, windmills, and wrestling.
Wow. Pig farming, wrestling, and windmills. Do you have a score for me?
Oh, I suppose Nebraska wins this one somewhere in the neighborhood of 24-14. And don't underestimate the Iowans' abilities to combine pig farming, windmills, and wrestling.
Mm-hmm. There goes Klausberg. Vogue, you have a great Thanksgiving, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Klausberg, take care of yourself. We'll talk next week. Appreciate you.
Okay.
There he goes.
Practice updates. We'll get those coming next. Yes. They're coming out. Brian Rose is all starting to tweet out some stuff. We'll have those coming up for you guys.
Wonderful. There's Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt. TJ heading a jock talk on the way with Hail Varsity, but shortly a practice update on Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back to it. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Talk Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Tavis, the pre-Turkey Day edition. Dr. Doug, how are you?
Doing pretty good here, Chris. I am looking forward to that, though.
Yeah, I can't wait either, and it's going to be awesome because I'm not cooking. I mean, it's going to be wonderful.
Tell me that you do cook every once in a while, Chris.
Well, I don't want to lie to you. I mean, but it's for everyone's benefit. They trust them versus trusting me, so
okay.
That's how it works out. You know, what's been in the news sports-wise, and you and I always talk fantasy football, I know you're wondering, so yes, I did finally win again. It only been about 4 weeks, and
well, statistically, the odds are that you're going to
win once in a while.
One of these,
and I played the guy who had AJ Green. So, yeah. Let's focus on that. Hamstrings, a discussion point in college and the NFL. And Green's one of these guys. I mean, early reports are like, well, will he come back? Is he done for the year? They're so touchy, Dr. Doug. And let's talk about hamstrings and how you deal with them and how you treat them as a medical professional, because you know what, they are temperamental, aren't they?
Yeah, this is a something that ebbs and flows. You know, every year we get new ideas and things coming out about hamstring problems, and any time that you have a lot of different talk about a particular injury, what that usually points to is that nobody's got it figured out yet exactly how to, A, avoid them, and B, get them treated and back on the field as fast as you can. So there's just an awful lot of things out there that we try and do, but none of them are completely successful.
Well, let's talk about A.J. Green and what is likely for him. As I mean, the guy is 5-time Pro Bowler. He is amazing size. He's got great speed. Now, they came out late Monday saying that his hamstring was not torn. That's great news that it's not torn, but it's still not anything that can get him on the field this weekend here. How do you go about dealing with the hamstring, Dr. Doug, when it comes to treatment and precaution, specifically at one of those skill spots, wideouts that are trying to use those quick twitch muscles to get acceleration and get separation?
Yeah, these explosive athletes are the guys that, you know, run into these problems primarily. And basically what happens is that the combination of their explosive muscular exertion along with some other force that's trying to stretch the hamstring, when those two things combine, you end up exceeding the structural integrity of the hamstring somewhere along its length and end up getting an injury to it. And so it can be a strain, which is what it sounds like A.J. Green's situation is, where the muscle fiber has got some damage to it, but it isn't torn in two. You can end up having a tear where in the mid portion of the muscle, you literally do tear some of the muscle in two, and you kind of get this balled up layer of muscle on either side of the injury. Or you can have a situation where the hamstring tears at its attachment up onto the what's called the ischium, which is the butt bone, if you want to say it that way. All three of them end up having different sort of treatment issues. When we're thinking about treating a tear where it pulls off the bone, that's the one time where surgery comes into play. And there it's a situation like, if you were to tear your biceps off of the bone down at the elbow. If you don't go and put that thing back and get it reattached to it, onto the bone, you'll never have a good functional anchor point in which to make the muscle pull against. And so that's the surgical time when we're treating hamstring injuries. When we're dealing with the injuries that are in the middle of the muscle belly, whether that be a strain or whether that be where the muscle is actually torn, the basic thoughts are stretching, strengthening, and then we're bantering around the use of platelet-rich plasma injections.
Dr. Doug Tavis, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking hamstrings. We're talking A.J. Green. And people may have heard of PRP, and I know it's more common now. Tell me a little bit about the benefit of PRP and why it's so commonly used now, or at least when you hear about pro athletes, they do turn to it. I mean, what type of data and recovery effectiveness have you seen?
Yeah, so kind of the history of PRP, and one of the things that really brought it to the forefront was that there were a couple of players the NFL that ended up having some hamstring injuries and before one of the Super Bowls, and ended up having PRP injections and played well in that. This has been a decade ago. Mm-hmm. And so from that, things kind of started launching, with PRP becoming very in vogue for treatment. What PRP is a concentration of the platelets in your blood system. And so we take some blood out of the arm, for instance, and then in a particular way we centrifuge that blood, and we're able to collect the platelets along with some of the other structural parts of the blood. And that concentration is why they call it platelet-rich plasma. The plasma being the liquid part. So we're concentrating the platelets into the liquid part of the blood. We take that and then inject it into the structure that we're trying to treat. Now, the value of that is multiple. There are anti-inflammatory properties of that injection, so that like a cortisone injection decreases inflammation, the platelet-rich plasma injection can decrease inflammation. There's also the potential of growth hormones in the platelets that are then released into the tissues that they're injected into. And that growth hormone, the idea is for that to improve the healing process. Now, the rub on all this is that we, in looking at the studies that have been done in different locations, there's some value to the platelet-rich plasma that seems to be showing up. In the hamstring in particular, there have been studies that show it both ways. There was just a study that came out in the last year or two that looked at NFL players that had platelet-rich plasma injections that suggested there was no improvement to it. Another study that suggested that there was. So it's a little bit hard. They're using return to play as sort of that endpoint, and that's always a difficult endpoint, you know, because you're talking about the differences between 1 or 2 days on return to play can make a big difference if you're you know, lining up for a Super Bowl.
Dr. Doug Tavis, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. That's amazing stuff and interesting when it comes to how quick you can get back and how much recovery assistance has been provided by that PRP. We're talking hamstrings and AJ Green. Dr. Doug, wanted to say happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll catch up again. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You bet, Chris. Enjoy the turkey.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time, the Saturday edition of Hail Varsity will be back in less foggy on Saturday morning at 7 a.m., but this will do it for us this week. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, TJ Henning. And the Hail Varsity Jay Moore practice report starts now. Talk to me.
Yep. Tommy and Riker will both be available.
Yay.
Zach Darlington got a lot of preparation as well, just in case. Tommy, he did say that Tommy was not, they say, cut loose, you know, on the running plays he used from. He wasn't running at full speed. But he's comfortable in saying that both players will be available to play. Stanley Morgan's going to be good to go. Drew Brown's going to be good to go, and Dedrick Young is good to go. So kind of the guys who are beat up are healthy and are ready to go for Friday. So it's really good news for the Husker front.
And you have Kittle for the Hawkeyes at tight end that is good to go. We don't know about the Iowa left guard or right tackle. Mm-hmm. Those guys are questionable. But, yeah, Tommy and Riker should be ready to rock. How effective? What are they limited in doing? Raleigh really couldn't and wouldn't go there, and I don't blame him there, but you have to anticipate that if they're going to play him, they'll be cautious, they'll be careful, but they'll let him use his own discretion mm-hmm. when to run it, when to get rid of it, and when to fight another day play-wise. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm interested to see if this thing does go overtime or if it is close or if, I don't know, maybe Nebraska gets out early. Iowa has not scored a touchdown in the opening quarter the last four games. That from the Land of Ten folks. They had that in their blog. Really good stat. Nebraska's been good in the first quarter, been great in the fourth quarter. And the weather shouldn't be awful. Mid-40s.
Hey, take
you'll
it.
Take, yeah, mm-hmm. You'll absolutely take it. So we want you to have an amazing Thanksgiving with your family and friends and loved ones. We want you to enjoy Nebraska and Iowa on Friday. We thank you for listening to Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. We appreciate you tuning in to us. And we will give away to caller 5, caller 6, caller 5, caller 6 right now, a 6-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Caller 5. Caller 6 right now, a free 6-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. The premium stuff is gold. Caller 5, caller 6 now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Ultimate online experience, great fan community on Hail Varsity, and of course, great info from our staff, Brandon Vogel, Aaron Sorensen, Jacob Padilla, Jake Jensen, in-depth recruiting analysis, breaking news. So caller 5, caller 6 right now, 466-377-6800, 825-5865, a six-month online subscription, premium online subscription to HaleVarsity.com. You can also get a 30-day free window for you. Sign up today, HaleVarsity.com/subscribe. Caller 5, caller 6, do it now. TJ, take care, brother. Have a great Thanksgiving. Jay Bird, you're awesome.
You got it.
Good to see you.
Happy Thanksgiving,
Happy
boys.
Thanksgiving. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for taking time with Hale Varsity. God bless you all. Appreciate you. And we'll talk to you on Saturday.